We've entered into the season of Epiphany. We will think about the ways in which God's presence is made known to us in this world. The word that we often hear is made manifest. Ways that we recognize God is up to something around us. And so we begin this season of being attentive to God's work in our midst with Jesus' baptism. This event that many consider, and many of the gospel writers consider, the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. It's here at Jesus' baptism that we also see God's presence being made known as God the Father says to God the Son, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." We have the Holy Spirit descending. This is clear. Jesus is someone a little different from the rest of us humans. Now, Jesus is going to communicate to us God's presence in a way that pleases God. We also have others who we hear please God today, those in Isaiah, or the people of Israel. These ones who God says are precious in God's sight, who God honors and loves. God cares for these people. And we hear that part of this caring is giving up other nations for them. So people of Israel are hearing this message within exile, and so they have been given up themselves. They have been conquered and thrust out of their nation, out of their land. And God says, "No, I will give up other peoples, other nations, other lands in order to restore you and bring you back to the covenant land that I have given you." And so what we hear in that is the good news for the people of Israel, that they are loved, redeemed, but there is some challenge, some trouble, that there is the possibility that there are those who are given up, those who are given in exchange, those who seem to fall outside of God's purview, who are not precious in God's sight, but God is willing to trade for those who are. We have the same sticky problem in our gospel reading today as well. There seems to be some differentiation between wheat and chaff. We, of course, would like to be those that God views as precious, whom God loves. We would love to be those who are called God's children, who are part of the wheat gathered into God's granary. We may wonder, are we the chaff? Are we those who are given over, given up in exchange for those whom God cares about? Does God truly view us as precious in God's sight? In our moments of hopelessness and despair, this is exactly how we can feel. We can feel like we are not God's children, that God does not love us or care about us. We can also find ourselves in another position, the opposite perspective, that says, of course we are the ones God loves, and we know who the others are. We know who the people are that need to be given up for us to know life and to know love, those groups, those ideas that need to be destroyed, burned up like chaff, and then everything will be fine. And clearly we know who God needs to strike down, who God needs to trade away so that things can be as they should. I think our second reading and gospel temper both of these perspectives. In Christ we see God drawing near to us, entering into this world, passing through the waters so that we may know life. God is clear that in Christ this is extended to all. This is what we see happening in our second reading today. Those in Samaria hear and accept this word of God, and the apostles are sent, and they pray that they may receive the Holy Spirit, that God's power and presence may be made known to them. We are to remember that this gift of life that Christ is offering is extended truly to all. And that includes us, that we are those who are named and claimed as God's own in the waters of baptism. We too can be joined to Christ in these baptismal waters and hear this affirmation: "You are my child, the beloved." chosen and precious in God's sight. This is what we heard last week in our reading from Ephesians, no less, that this was the purpose of God, was to redeem and restore us. This is the mystery of God made known in Christ, that God would forgive us of our sins and draw us together as one people. So we know, even when we are feeling hopeless or despairing, that in truth, God loves us. God cares about us. The second viewpoint, of course, has already been addressed. We also know that this care of God is not limited. Indeed, what we see in Christ's baptism is that no longer does God want to give peoples or nations in exchange for those whom God cares about, but instead God gives God's own Son in exchange for us. That Christ has come to pass through the waters and fire for us to know life. And that there now is not this differentiation anymore of some that are in and some that are out, but through Christ, all are drawn into this life, into this love. This is what our second reading is communicating to us as well. It is very clear that there could be nobody who would fit the category of outsider, or outside of God's purview at least, for Jewish people than the Samaritans. These are those who they have nothing in common with, as we would hear in John 4, and that as Jesus is at the well. These are those whom James and John wanted to call fire down upon for not welcoming Jesus as they thought they should. There was no love lost between Jews and Samaritans. It is very clear, even from James and John's perspective, that they were viewed as the chaff that would need to be burned up. They were quite content with the notion that these would be the ones who could be exchanged for them to know life. And yet, what we see in our reading is that accepting the word of God is all that is needed. There is no debate in the church at Jerusalem, whether they should send Peter and John or not. There is no quarreling or discussion about this at all. It is immediate. Yes, they should be extended the same gift that we have received. Go and pray that they may receive the Holy Spirit. They lay their hands upon them. They want them to know the exact same power and goodness and grace of God that they themselves at the church in Jerusalem have experienced. In Christ, we do not see people giving up, being given up in exchange. We do not see a desire to view some as the chaff that need to be burned away. No, all are included. And we are to pray for everyone, even those whom we would see as outsiders, to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. So we know, then with confidence, that God has chosen and claimed us as God's own children. We know that we are to extend this invitation to all, that there are none that we can view as chaff or as those outside of God's purview. We instead pray for the Holy Spirit. And we may think that, well, because we've finally gotten this right, because we know that God has claimed us in baptism, that God does love us in this way, clearly our lives then should be simple and straightforward. Now that we are with God, everything should work out just dandy. Our reading from Isaiah tempers that notion as well. God is very clear to this people that God loves, that God views as precious and honored, that they will still have to go through waters, through rivers, through these chaotic forces of the world. That they will still have to pass through fire. There is no if here. If you happen to go through waters, I'll be with you. No, it is when you pass through the waters, when you encounter chaos, disruption, suffering around you, I will be with you. You will not be overwhelmed. When you pass through fire, this flame shall not burn or consume you. And so we hear we are not to be afraid. When we encounter the hardships of life, when we struggle, when we suffer, because God is still with us. This is what is proven to us in Jesus' own baptism. Jesus quite literally passes through the waters enters into the river Jordan. And it is within that baptism that Jesus sees God's presence, that names and claims him as God's beloved Son, with whom God is well pleased. And this shows us without a doubt that in the midst of the waters, God is present. Jesus will pass through fire, yes, the fire of the cross. The pain and suffering this would inflict, that it would demand his death. And yet we know that Christ is not dead. The fire did not consume Jesus. But instead, he still has life. Life that can be offered to us when we go through these crucible moments. When we experience the challenges of death and suffering. Christ's baptism, Christ's resurrection tells us God is with us. We need not to be afraid. We are still beloved by God. This is what we remember for ourselves today as we will have this affirmation of baptism. Remember how we are joined to those same waters, how we must follow where Christ has gone. We too will even enter into the chaos and suffering of this world to proclaim God's presence, to reveal the truth that Jesus is still with us, that somehow God is still speaking to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, telling us that we are children of God, beloved. This is the good news we receive, and this is the good news we have to share. And of course, this is a difficult perspective to maintain in the midst of a world that is chaotic, that ever seems to be on fire. And we know we need this fire that Jesus brings, this fire of the Holy Spirit, to cleanse us and burn away our chaff, to draw out our wheat, and to make us as we should be for this world. And what we need at all times, and in all ways, is Christ to come to us, to lead the way, to carry us through the water, to guard us from the fires that burn around us. And this is what happens in this meal that we share. Christ comes. And in this bread and in this wine, we experience anew Christ's presence with us. We are nourished and strengthened to take those steps through the water and the fire, to experience the ways in which Christ baptizes us with the power of the Holy Spirit still today. As we experience anew the forgiveness of our sin, the depths of God's grace, mercy, and love, and the ways that we have been declared God's children, precious and honored in God's sight. As we experience this good news, we are sent forth to celebrate and share that good news with the world, to joyfully tell of what God has accomplished for us in this world in Christ. To go to those places of brokenness, of suffering, to enter into them fully, to bear this message of hope, this message of love. Because this is what God has done for us. God has entered into our broken places, has passed through the waters to be near to us, to journey alongside us, and to tell us this good news, that God loves us and that we are precious in God's sight. For this wonderful news and the God who comes to share that news with us in Christ, we can only say in response for such good news as this, thanks be to God. Amen.